Hello. Thanks for joining the presentation. I'm Redon. I come from I come from Albania in a city called Elbasan, which is quite in the center of close to Tirana. It's quite a simple city, very small, and doesn't have much. And now I live in Tirana, which is the capital of Albania. Although I travel a lot for different events, conferences, and stuff like that. If you want to, one of the things that my birth city has is quite important is that it has a lot of good food, and it's Mediterranean, so but it's not very healthy, so you should not consume it for a big period of time. Okay, so I started with other people, with other folks, the Open Labs Hackerspace in Tirana in 2012. I'm one of the initial members, and I do a lot of contributions in Wikimedia, OpenStreetMap, LibreOffice, and of course OpenSUSE, mainly in localizations, and also doing some events at the local hackerspace. Two of the events that we organize there that I'm part of, I've been part of since day one, is the crypto party, when people that do not know a lot of technical stuff about how to be safe online and how to communicate in a very encrypted way. It's been running for 2 years now. This is going to be the third year, and it's quite inspiring to see people that were technophobic first talk about encryption in the end of the event. The event started with Arjen Kampuis, one of the people of the Dutch community, Hack42, and other initiatives. And also, I'm part of the OSCAL conference, which was a week before. And it actually gathers all the initiatives in Albania that are related to open source, free software, privacy online, open data, and stuff like that. I'm also mentioning my company because it's related heavily with the element of advocacy and why we do this. It's not the company itself, but it's the ecosystem behind it. It's called Collective 68, and we offer cloud services for people that do not know or do not want to manage open source instances, just like Nextcloud, which is the talk next, Attendize, Mattermost, and stuff like that. Okay, so I'm kind of sad because usually when I was going to this kind of events, a lot of people were talking about like Linux, the importance of advocacy, and now it's a lot about the industry, which is nice. Money is good, and we should pay the rent as well in the end of the month. But also, advocacy in our industry or in our area is also related not only to the doing good, but also to companies as well, right? So every company needs to have whatever it is. It's a tech company, it's agriculture, whatever it is. It needs to talk about why it's good what they're doing. So if you go to Merriam-Webster, it says the definition of advocacy is the act or process of supporting a cause or proposal, the act or process of advocating, which is obvious, we know this, right? And in our communities and businesses and institutions, for people that are into institutions, our focus is free and open source technologies in general, online privacy, and open data, and public domain in a lot of cases. So advocacy in general, and we now know advocacy for our industry. And what does it matter? I mentioned before, it matters because in any environment, including the free and open source movement, there are many actors. There are enthusiasts or people that just like it because they think it's the right thing to do. There are people that have companies. There are public institutions that need to know. There are so many institutions that do not know the things that we are doing and the way we are doing it, right? And in the end of the day, we are part of the in one way or the other, we get connected because we are part of the same, you know, bucket of stuff that happen inside it. Okay, so as I mentioned, we are all part of an ecosystem. It's in our best interest to have as many people that have this mentality as possible. And because the more people, the more easier our life would be, the more better will be for communities and more open source and free software we're going to have. And whatever goals we have at an individual or collective or company level, more people that talk about what we do, it's better for everyone. Again, we tend to forget this because we are busy and because the industry has gone so far. Like we heard about Microsoft that bought GitHub for, I don't know, how many millions or trillions, I don't know, how much was it? Billions of dollars. And it's going big, like the value of open source products now, it's quite big. And this is very nice, but we need to talk about the basics once in a while. And talking about, you know, advocacy and ethics in general, it's not very pleasant, especially in the morning or in a sunny day. But it's good for everyone's business. So there are some people that have done this before. I think in people that do full-time advocacy usually are some of them, you know, do get burned out because you need to sacrifice a lot of your personal time, a lot of your personal family time and stuff like that. So you need to be a very tough character to do it. But also they give an example to other people to do smaller things, maybe, but they also have an impact on what we all are doing. They are good. I think we should also, some people think these examples are good, some people think they're bad. It depends on our point of view or how we see those. So Jimmy Wales, the founder of Wikimedia Foundation, I think it's a good case of advocacy in general. There, I don't know many people that, you know, say he's done some bad things, although I think he's now not that much into the Wikimedia movement as he was before. Also a good example of probably he got burned out. I don't know him much. But I think he's a good example in the end of the day of doing something with passion for a lot of time and having quite an impact. Richard Stallman. So, very, very good advocacy guy, in my perception. Somebody, my friend over there, told me that he's going to be in an event. So I'm only, you know, imagining how, you know, handling him and, you know, going around with him, et cetera, et cetera. But a very good advocacy person. You know, it's very rare to see people that started doing this like 30 years ago and still doing it, which means they are committed to their cause. But again, with talent comes there is also some package with it. Edward Snowden. In general, I think we should judge people after a while. But there is a general, except if you are working in the U.S. administration, in some parts of it, you're probably going to think he's not a good advocacy guy on privacy. But I think the majority of the people that are not only us, but other people think that it's a very good case of advocacy with a lot of personal cost. And also, I think the impact that it had in a very short period of time, it was huge. You could have people that had no idea about, you know, privacy and talking about, you know, massive surveillance and stuff like that. You had many popular magazines talking about these things as well because of him. Linus Torvalds, there is something going on with the Linux things. Very good advocacy guy, but again, it's one of these cases that it depends who you ask, and if they're bothered from you know, bad language and stuff like that, or, you know, showing fingers in public. But again, I think he has quite a good impact on the Linux scene and free and open source movement as well. So where we can advocate, I think it's simple. There are, like, students are the best in my perception from my experience in my city, the city where I'm based right now. Students are the best case scenario. Although in countries like Albania, we have this brain drain. A lot of people leave the country, so they get exposed to the whole culture and they leave the country. Hopefully, they're going to come back. I don't know, but in general, students are, because they have not been contaminated yet by this whole, you know, life achievement, midlife crisis, all the, you know, having a mortgage and all this stuff that people have these days. Universities are a tough thing to advocate because are a very, it depends also on each country. Again, I'm talking out of my personal experience. Is this on the record? It is. We are recording this. Okay, I cannot talk more about the, you know, people on Albanian universities, on the record. But in general, it's not easy to advocate there. It's very complicated, very bureaucratic. But we need to do it. Home users, again, it's very small scale. Usually, it's your aunt which is going to bother with all this stuff. And I don't know if it's a good case scenario. But there are also people that are into it. For example, I have my my family members that you now use Linux, and they're not because of my advocacy, but because it's easier for them to use it. Another tough one, but again, it depends on the government or where you're talking, are the public institutions. And in Albania, we've managed to do through a lot of you know, a lot of meetings and a lot of talks and also events where we invite a lot of letters sent to the public institutions. We've managed along with the respective organizations to convince the municipality of Tirana to switch from a proprietary software to Nextcloud. They're also using in 85% of the computers there are LibreOffice right now. And also they have Moodle, which is something about an open source. I've never used it. It's open source software. About trainings, and there are talks for them to switch to Linux gradually at some point. So it's a very good case study. And if you want to do advocacy there, again, in my experience, you just need to go institutionally first. Probably going to take a while. And after that, if it doesn't work, you need to talk to key people that are in the institution in order to convince them. And explain them why they should switch from one system to the other. And of course, I'm more happy to talk over coffee after if there is any other place that I forgot where we can advocate. So where to do it? How much time do we have? Okay. Are you Germans? Can we take this longer? No. Okay, so where to do it? There are two levels. Stereotypes. So there are two levels, macro and micro. Macro usually means international, but not always. And micro, it's the local level, which I personally like more and a lot. So let's go first, macro. Usually all the Linux or free software advocacy groups, usually they go to one place, which is the European Parliament. They have a lot of meetings. It costs a lot. Usually it's you are against people that have a lot of budgets to lobby, right? But there are some organizations, Free Software Foundation is one of them, and I'm pretty sure EDRE, E-D-R-E, is another one, which are focused in changing policies at the European Union level. In Albania, in Tirana, we also run this campaign, Public Money, Public Code, where we try to contact public officials to explain to them officially why this is important for public institutions to have infrastructure, open source infrastructure, because it should be, and this is the right way to do it. Controversial, Linux Foundation also, it's a group that aims to do advocacy at a macro level, so industry-wide. Again, there are people I know that they are quite positive about it. Other people are not. But in general, the general idea is that they want to have an impact have advocacy at a macro level. And of course, it's very important to have our own media. For example, I read this blog. It's called It's FOSS. It has news and updates about free and open source software in general. But there are also other blogs and news in technology that are quite representing and doing a lot of good advocacy in an international level as well. Of course, at conferences, just like and companies, are a good way to go and talk. We also need to do a lot of, you know, in order to support local events or local events like this, we also need to do advocacy to big companies that have an interest in supporting conferences, open source and free software companies like this one. Again, there are also some great initiatives that help young people also, or people that have just started in this industry understand why it's quite important. We just launched a microsite called What Can I Do for LibreOffice, which is a fork of What Can I Do for Mozilla, which is a fork of What Can I Do for Fedora. And this is another one. And it's a nice case study, I think, of, you know, people sharing code and also helping other people, you know, get into our movement. This helps people with some simple questions understand how they can get involved in LibreOffice, for example, or in other initiatives as well. This is the Italian version. There is also it's also in English and other languages. Okay, so my micro level, because we have only a few minutes left. Okay, so I mentioned before Open Labs Hackerspace. It's the local initiatives. Hackerspaces, there are some good ones. I think I would totally hang out and see. And these are very good hubs of people meeting each other and talking about this kind of stuff. In Tirana has helped a lot. Local conferences. I have also this kind of spirit of, you know, having a community and people care for each other a lot. Usually there are a few companies there sponsoring them, so I think if you want them to keep on, we need to support this kind of initiatives, either if we are into a company and sponsoring them, but also if we talk to these events, you have no idea how much inspiration youngsters in these local events get out of this conferences. So as I mentioned, organize events and conferences at a local level, smaller events, hackathons or meetups, even for three or four people, are quite nice. And very important, invite influential people that might need to be advocated in what we're doing. We every year in our conference, we send a lot of letters to any kind of public institution. Sometimes they come, sometimes they don't, but they are a reminder that we are out there and what we're doing. It doesn't cost anything to send letters to these people. You just change the name, you know, and the name of the institution, and just post them. Well, if it's Albanian Post, it's not very good, so some letters might get lost, which was our experience, but that's another talk we can have over beer or coffee. Okay, and this is an outcome we had. I mentioned that we had an agreement with the municipality to do a lot of open source stuff. And these are five very confused people that haven't done this before, as you can see, do not know how to dress officially. And this is the mayor of Tirana signing the agreement, which is a very good outcome of inviting these people to our events, letting them know what we're doing, a lot of meetings. We are a Mediterranean country, which means that you have to do stuff in the coffee shop, otherwise nothing gets done, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know if you have seen the Shawshank Redemption, when the guy wanted to have a library in the prison. This is not a spoiler alert for people that haven't seen it, but in general, people in public institutions are very, they have their own agenda, so if they don't answer, we just brought them again and again and again until they got bored and say, who are these guys? Let's have a meeting over coffee. Okay? And it's really important to understand what's their incentive and what they want. Usually these people need something. In this case, it's very good publicity for the municipality of Tirana, so we go to every conference and we mention them. So also they go to different events and say, hey, we did this, this, and that. So it's a win-win situation for all the involved parties, right? So some last thoughts. If you do a little research about whatever each of you are up to, you're going to see that there are going to be a lot of active communities in some countries and none in other countries. And the potential there is like quite big. For example, I don't know, you know, Africa, probably for logistical issues, because it's very hard to go there, doesn't have a lot of free and open source enthusiasts right now. But the potential there is huge. Some Asian countries, you know, there are countries where if you go and visit them, they're going to have so much, you're going to see so much potential. And even if you, like, we start talking, like, online, it's going to be also very good. It's very important to think long term. I know it's tough. I mentioned, you know, mortgage, we are busy, we have families. But if we don't think long term, nothing is going to work, in my perception. Start a community in a coffee shop, in a hackerspace, in cities that there do not have anything. Even if there are five people, I think the potential there is huge. I've seen this happen 6 years ago, and I think it's quite important to talk to local small communities, small cities about this. And some airport books, read some airport books like The Tao of Coaching, which is about business, but in general also applies to communities as well. And last but not least, agree on some main values of the community you are starting from day one. Values, I think, are more important than having budgets or, you know, having sponsors for a conference or event or anything else like that, because it's going to spare you a lot of time fighting. If you have one pillar and say, hey, we agree to do only this, and we will not diversify, I think it makes the life easier for everyone that is involved in this kind of communities. And yeah, that's it. It's a tough process. Advocacy, it's, you know, you need to do it on your spare time. That's why there's a lot of money in lobbying in the US. Google spends a lot of money. Google started 3 years ago, I think, one division in-home, like not outsourcing it, only for lobbying in the EU, which means that it's very, very important. And we just need to do the same with zero budget or less budget at different levels, because, again, it's very good for each one of us, for our companies, for our institutions, and for, you know, our communities. So thanks a lot. If there are any questions, or if we have time for questions. No? Okay, I'm gonna be around, so if you have any...